The relationship between India and Pakistan has been marred by tension for more than half a century. The two nations have fought three wars and countless diplomatic skirmishes. Though both her parents come from the region, commentator Anjali Primlani has felt sheltered from the conflict.
Despite the fact that my Indian parents speak between them maybe a dozen languages, my sister and I were brought up speaking only English. When I asked my parents why, they became vague. It wasn't really a decision, they said. Besides, my mother claimed my father didn't speak Hindi properly, and my father claimed my mother didn't. Hindi wasn't either of my parents' first language anyway. So, I asked, why didn't they teach us their language, Sindhi? India has too many languages, my father said. Let's let this one die. If you look at a map of India, you won't see Sindh on it because Sindh is in southern Pakistan. In 1947, when India and Pakistan became independent from Great Britain, there was an explosion of violence against Hindus in Pakistan. Not to be outdone, Hindus in India started killing Muslims, and at the end of a long round of horror, Sindhi Hindus were ethnically cleansed out of Pakistan. Strictly speaking, Sindhi shouldn't be an Indian language at all, and yet it's one of, I forget how many, 16 or 18 or 12 official major Indian languages, because of the substantial Sindhi community in India. Even before partition, Sindhis were supreme pragmatists. We were always entrepreneurs who let business take us all over the world, since the Phoenicians landed in the Indus River Valley, or so I've been told. Both my parents missed the violence because their fathers had gone to work in other parts of India. So, true to form, the Sindhis approached displacement with a minimum of sentiment. They hunkered down wherever they were, learned the local languages, and got on with the all-important business of making money. That's the official story, anyway, and you'll have a hard time getting anyone of that generation to budge from it. Much of my mom's family ended up refugees, and Dad had one cousin who simply disappeared. Sindhis left their homes behind and ran for their lives, and fundamentally, they have nothing to say about it. They built new businesses, and have firmly, even stubbornly, refused to look back in anger. The Americanized sentimental part of me is appalled. How can anyone live through that kind of horrible experience and decide it just doesn't matter? My generation grew up all over the world, adopted strange new homelands, and assimilated wherever we were. Because we were so wildly dispersed, the Sindhi language is dying, and with it a culture that is over 7,000 years old. Most Sindhi kids know about partition, if at all, from school. I learned about it from the film Gandhi. And when I understood the ferocity of violence that erupted all over India in 1947, I had a new appreciation for the older generation's silence. The Sindhi pragmatist in me understands what a strange angel this has been for my generation. They freed us from the past, a gift many other communities like the Palestinians and the Serbs don't have. They are still caught up in ethnic conflicts generations old. The Sindhis walked away from revenge, so we wouldn't grow up lusting after nationalist dreams. The quest for retaliation was abandoned, not out of a sense of higher purpose, you understand, but because it was bad for business. They have chosen what to remember. And in a world screaming never forget, and slaughtering people over traumas sometimes centuries old, this was a gift beyond price.
Anjali Primlani lives in Chicago.